بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المجداة والسراج المنير. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين، أما بعد. لا إله إلا الله، the testimony of faith. It is the decisive criterion by which man is judged to be Muslim or kafir. This testimony is the foundation upon which Islam is based. The concept of life, the universe, and man is diffused from it, and upon it is based the message of all messengers, beginning from Noah and ending with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, "We did not send the messenger before you without revealing to him, there is no God worthy of being worshipped except I. Therefore, worship me." Allah has created man and jinn and the rest of creation on account of the testimony of faith. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. Consequently, everything in this universe submits to worship to Allah, to whom belongs the creation and the authority. He is aware of all things. But what is the meaning of this testimony of faith? La ilaha illallah comprises two concepts. One, a denial, and two, an affirmation. First of all, the testimony of faith denies everyone and everything other than Allah. The exalted, the attribute of divinity. All those other than Allah, such as the angels, the prophets, and the rest of mankind, let alone the idols and the political regimes in the world, are not gods, nor do they deserve to be worshipped. Thus denial in this respect is not denial of the existence of the alleged gods. Rather, it is the denial of divinity which is attributed to them. Second, the testimony of faith affirms and restricts divinity to Allah alone. That is, the slave must believe Allah is the only true God and dedicate accordingly no act of worship to other than Allah. Since worship with all its legitimate acts and rights must be dedicated only to the God who deserves it, therefore the true God to whom worship must be dedicated is the one who enjoys certain attributes. The attributes of this God are, number one, divinity. The oneness of Allah, who is singled out as the only true God having no partner to share his divine attributes, nor his domain. Number two, self-sufficiency. Allah stands in need of no one. He needs neither a helper, nor a spouse, or a son. Number three, the capability of doing everything. There is nothing which frustrates his capability. He does anything he wishes without exhaustion or support. If he wills to do a thing, he only says it, be, and it is. Number four, the absolute life.
which is unaffected by perishment. Allah is everlasting and He is Al-Qayyum. Number 5, alertness. Allah never sleeps, nor is He heedless. He is neither seized by slumber or sleep. Number 6, inclusive proprietorship. All existing things belong to Allah alone. Number 7, knowledge. Allah's knowledge encompasses the whole universe, that even an ant weight does not escape His knowledge. He is well aware of the hidden and the apparent, the past, the present, and the future, and He knows the inner thoughts of man. Number 8, pride and wonder. There is nothing greater than Allah, neither in His essence or in His grandeur, nor in His supremacy. Number 9, merciful beneficence. Allah does not wrong a thing or punish unjustly. Rather, He loves His devotees and forgives the sins of those who repent to Him. Only the one to whom the divine attributes belongs is the true God, who is worthy of being worshipped, and to whose greatness all creation submit. It is for this reason that the testimony of faith constitutes denial of divinity to all other than Allah, and confirming it to Allah alone, for He is the only true God. Allah, who is far removed from every imperfection, exclusively enjoys the attributes of divinity. This divinity entails the right of legislating laws. Allah is the one who legislates laws for His creatures. Therefore, no one may legislate laws for himself or for others that do not conform with those of Allah, or those given by His Messenger. Nor may anyone design a mode of worship or a transaction of regulation for individuals or groups. Neither is it the right of anyone to deem things lawful or unlawful on his own accord. Nor is it the right of anyone to legislate. Penal law on his own accord, for such rights are exclusively Allah. Whoever gives himself such rights presumptuously sets up himself as God. Whoever obeys him takes him for a God in lieu of Allah. Allah has mentioned that Christians have taken their scholars and monks as lords other than Allah only by obeying their lords who prohibited Allah's lawful things and legalized His prohibited things without divine sanction. They did so after knowing that Allah is a true God to whom worship must be dedicated, and after knowing that Allah accepts only those acts of worship legislated by Him and by His Messenger. Hence, we must know the acts of worship so that we dedicate them to Allah alone. Once we know this, we know that He has created the creatures only to worship Him. Man, as part of His creatures, must dedicate all his life worshipping Allah. He must be aware of Allah's ruling, respecting everything He does, that every lawful thing He does, intending it to be a means of bringing him closer to Allah, turns to be act of worship. Worship is an inclusive term comprising every utterance and deed, apparent or hidden, that Allah loves. So, what are the requirements of this testimony, the Shahada, that are incumbent upon the person who confesses it to apply? These requirements are:
Number one, the belief that Allah is a true God to whom worship must be dedicated. He is the one who possesses all attributes of perfection and who is far removed from every imperfection, such as taking a spouse or a son. Number two, the belief that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, and the giver of life and death, the proprietor of the universe, and the only ruler and legislator. Number three, the belief that Allah possesses the attribute of perfection and is far removed from every imperfection, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in the Quran and the Sunnah, the only two sources from which we know the attributes of Allah. Number four, taking the believers for friends, loving and supporting them. Allah says in the Quran, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are harsh against unbelievers and merciful amongst themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and His good pleasure. On their faces are marks caused by prostration, that is during prayers. This is their similitude in the Torah and in the Gospel. Like a sown seed which sends forth its shoot, then makes it strong. And it then becomes thick and it stands straight on its stem, delighting the farmer that he, Allah, may enrage the unbelievers with them. Number five, disowning the unbelievers and standing aloof of them. In the Quran, Allah says, indeed, there has been an excellent example for you in Ibrahim and those with him when they said to the people, verily, we are free from you and whatever you worship besides Allah. We have rejected you, and there has started between us and you hostility and hatred forever, until you believe in Allah alone. Except the saying of Ibrahim to his father, verily, I will ask forgiveness from Allah for you, but I have no power to do anything for you before Allah. Our Lord, in you alone we put our trust, and to you alone we turn in repentance, and to you alone is our final return. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.